Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. This morning we'll be looking at verses 32 and 33. You can find this on page 1036 if you're using your Pew Bibles this morning. So Matthew chapter 10, we'll be looking this morning at verses 32 and 33. We'll begin by reading verse 26 this morning. "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is our reading of God's Word. Let us once again seek His blessing. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You, Lord, for these two verses. And as we look at them, Lord, we pray they would be a great encouragement to us all. That You, Lord, acknowledge us. And we pray, Father, that You would inscribe that truth upon our hearts and open up our eyes and ears to understand Your Word. And we do pray, Lord, that You would open my mind and my mouth and bless them that I may speak and think clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we looked at the verses immediately preceding this last week, if you recall the section before that, Jesus had just clearly laid out the type of persecution and hostility that His followers would experience and that His disciples would experience in their life. A hostility where people are turning each other over to the authorities and persecuting one another. He then, as I mentioned last week, begins to comfort His disciples. Like, well, I'm sure their thoughts were, if this is what it means to follow Jesus, then maybe they began to rethink exactly that decision that they had made to follow Him and be His disciple. But Jesus begins to comfort them, first of all, knowing with the knowledge that their Father is completely sovereign over everything, over their life and over what happens to them, as we looked at last week. In these two verses, there's a subtle change in why we're looking at them slightly differently, or on their own today, rather than as the ESV has them together in one section. There's a subtle change in that these verses are comfort, don't address God's sovereignty, but the acknowledgement of Christ on that great day of judgment. Why should they follow Christ? Well, Christ will acknowledge them or profess them. And I think, at least I've been in this situation, I trust you have as well, if you're in a crowded space and maybe you look across the room and you see someone that you know. You know, my first inclination is to say, oh, hey, how are you? But then I immediately fight that down because of the horror and the fear of, well, if I just make a display of myself waving to them and say, hey, but they don't acknowledge me, there's a great embarrassment there. Or maybe it's someone on a more intimate level. You know them, but they don't acknowledge you in front of their friends, in front of their peers. There's that kind of hurt there. And on a much grander scale, imagine being on that great day where Christ doesn't acknowledge you. But these verses are to encourage His people. And if we profess Him before men, then He will in fact profess us before His Father. If we acknowledge Him before men, He will acknowledge us before His Father. We don't need to fear shouting out across a crowded room and being embarrassed and rejected. Christ says, I will, in fact, acknowledge you. And that's the theme we'll be looking at in these verses. It's for us to profess Jesus, and He will profess you before His Father. We'll be looking at this in 3 points. First of all, there are only 2 options for every person. We'll be looking at both verses for that point. Secondly, we're going to take verse 33 before verse 32. Those who deny Jesus will be denied by Him. And lastly, verse 32, those who profess Jesus will be professed by Him. So first of all, in both of these verses, verses 32 and 33, there are only 2 options for every person. These 2 verses are very similar in this teaching to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 27. In the Sermon on the Mount, in that section, Jesus is giving people the 2 options. There's the narrow gate, the broad gate. There's the foundation of sand and the foundation of rock. It's an and or. It's not of both. There's no gray area. There are 2 options to choose from. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6, says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. And also in John chapter 3, verse 36, we read these words, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Here in this section of Matthew, we read, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So we see here there's that same choice that is laid out before His disciples. And the subtle difference here in how He is speaking, He's going from speaking directly to maybe the 12 that are right in His immediate presence, to declaring out beyond them, whosoever, if anyone. So it's not just what His disciples are experiencing just coming up, but whoever, everyone. He's expanding it out and making it much broader. And in that language, we are clearly taught, as the rest of Scripture clearly proclaims, that each and every individual in this world is given 2 choices, 2 options. Either you profess Jesus or you deny Him. There's no middle ground. There's no, well, Jesus is a good teacher, I like His teachings. There's no, Jesus was a good prophet and He was unjustly murdered. There's none of that. It's either we profess Jesus as the Son of God, or we reject Him. We deny Him. So we either acknowledge Jesus or we deny Him. Those are our options. So let's look at denying Jesus and what it means to deny Him. If we consider the context of verse 32, directly before it, there Jesus is talking about professing Him. We can also say acknowledging Him. We could say making a claim, staking a claim of allegiance to Him. So in that light, denying Him would be the exact opposite of that. It would be a rejection of Him. It would be either with our words or also with our actions. Denying Jesus with our words. It's not just, you know, atheists who deny that God even exists. It's also those who, as I mentioned earlier, would say, well, I really respect Jesus' teaching, or I really respect how He conducted His life, but He's not for me. Or I really like His style, but He's not for me. That phrase, He's not for me, that's a denial with our words of Jesus. We cannot accept part of Him, but not all of Him. We can't leave out any pieces. He's a whole package. We must accept Him as a whole God-man. But we can not only deny him with our words, we can deny him with our actions. And Paul addresses this in his letter to Titus, chapter 1, verse 16, where he writes, "They profess to know God, but they deny him with their works." So there what we consider as a profession through our life, how we're living. We would call that giving lip service, saying one thing, but then turning around and doing the exact opposite. Living a double standard, not being sincere, not being wholehearted, just giving lip service and saying what we think people want to hear. If we profess all day long till we're blue in the face that we believe in Jesus, but then our life, when we look at it, is completely opposite to what he says his children are to look like, then we have denied him, just as much as the atheist who says he doesn't even exist. He isn't God. We have denied him in our actions. Well, the result of this denial is that Jesus says that he will deny them before his Father. And if we consider, this is similar to that section of Matthew I mentioned before, specifically verses 21 through 23, where we see how two groups of people come before Jesus on the day of judgment. And he says to one group, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In the same way, on that great day of judgment, Jesus will deny those who have denied him. We see Jesus here in this section, as we saw him in chapter 7 as the judge. Here, Jesus is the prosecution. He's the one that is bringing charges against those who are coming before the throne of judgment. And he is denying that he knows them. But before we feel a sense of burden or grief, we should remember that the denial here that Jesus is speaking of isn't a singular denial at some point in life. You know, there are many of God's people who have at some point in their life openly denied that he existed, openly denied who he claimed to be. And yet they are truly counted as God's people. And we even consider the clear illustration of this in Scripture itself of the Apostle Peter, who Jesus prophesied, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And the heartache that Peter felt after that rooster crowed of realizing Christ's prophecy came true and he denied the Lord that he loved. We read graciously in the Gospels about how Jesus, having risen from the grave, came to Peter and restored him. And restored him to faith. So it's not just a singular moment of denial which Jesus is talking about here. It is a lifelong process of continually kicking against the goads, as Jesus put it to the Apostle Paul. Kicking against him, fighting against him, and denying him, and then dying in that denial. I argue that as long as we are alive, Scripture tells us that we can be saved if God wills. Unless we die in that lifelong denial of Jesus. And if we die in denial of him, as John 3:36 shows from earlier, the wrath of God remains on those who do deny Jesus. But in verse 32, it's where our comfort really lies as children of God. Those who profess Jesus will be professed by him before the Father. The word here, acknowledge, as I've already said, can mean profess, to declare allegiance to. And it's not simply with our words, but also with our actions, how we live our lives. Some of us are naturally more quiet than others. But we can proclaim loudly with our lives who our Savior and Lord is. We declare, we profess allegiance to Jesus Christ. We acknowledge him. And consider also not only the immediate context of these two verses, but the larger context as well. How Jesus has just said that they will be persecuted and hated and brought before councils and Sanhedrins because of his name's sake. He is saying these words to comfort the fears and the anxieties of his people as they consider the possibility of facing real, dangerous persecution. We prayed this morning for our brothers and sisters of our central presbytery, a presbytery which lives underground and faces persecution for their faith in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in the South Sudan who face potential dangers and hostilities for their faith in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in the Middle East. In fact, one of the things that Dennis and I will be able to get to hear this next week is that there's a gentleman in the Midwest Presbytery who's from Pakistan, and he goes back and forth between Pakistan and here. And he ministers and he teaches. And he's a member of my home congregation now. And the Midwest may have an outcropping and a work in Pakistan, which is a very hard, antagonistic land to the gospel. The disciples of Christ faced persecution. But these words that Jesus gives us can be a great comfort in the face of that persecution. Why are we enduring it? Why do we go through it? Because Jesus says that on that great day, those who profess Him, those who acknowledge Him before all men, He will acknowledge before His Father. And we've all, that silly opening illustration that I gave, you know, and the one chance, off chance, that I do actually raise my hand and call out, and that person does respond, what a great joy that is, because everybody around me knows that I'm not, you know, I actually do know that person. Imagine the immense and indescribable joy on that great day when you, brothers and sisters, who have acknowledged Jesus and professed in Him, when He will stand not as a prosecutor, but as your defense, your advocate, and He will say to His Father, I know Him, I know her. She is mine, He is mine. That would be a great and glorious moment. There's an interesting parallel here with the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 4. As we consider, what does it mean for Christ to acknowledge us? What does it mean that before the Father, He will profess us, He will acknowledge us, He will declare an allegiance to us? Well, in John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says these words, "Abide in me, and I in you." That short phrase is actually remarkably similar in the Greek to what Jesus says here, as anyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father. There's a sense in which what it means for Jesus to acknowledge us before His Father, there's a sense in which all who profess in Christ, believe in Christ, He will, before His Father, say, and I in Him. That is the defense. That is our defense before God. When Jesus, our advocate, says, I am in Him, I am in her, as the Satan stands as our prosecution with that list of sins that he is recording and keeping track of, Jesus will simply say, Father, I am in her, I am in Him. I will acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. With this in view, brothers and sisters, keep in mind Romans chapter 10, verse 9. There the Apostle Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, He is Yahweh, He is Lord, He is the God Almighty, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Paul says, if you do these things, you will be saved. You will be saved. You confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Jesus will stand there next to you before the judgment seat of God, and he will say to his Father, I am in her, I am in him. And you will enter then into the glory and the rest that he earned and gave to you. Those are the options, brothers and sisters, that we have before us. We have the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ before his Father, or we have his denial, where he will say, I do not know this person. And that person, we are told, will be cast into hell forever. That is the choice between every man, woman, and child throughout this earth. And so, brothers and sisters, let us take great confidence and comfort from this, that if we have professed Jesus as Lord and believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then when that day comes, he will say to his Father, I am in him, I am in her. Profess Jesus, and he will profess you before his Father. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, what a remarkable truth that we can actually utter those words, our God and our Father. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ that we can say these things in truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort that you so graciously gave us, that when we face persecution, whether it's from outside and those who hate the gospel and have rejected it, whether it's from internally and our own sin and wickedness rising up against us, may we cling to the truth, Lord, that if we have confessed you as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised you from the dead, we are saved, and that you will, Lord, profess us, acknowledge us, declare allegiance to us in the face of your Father on that great and terrible day to come when you judge all the earth. It is in your glorious name that we pray. Amen.